obviously a disappointing opener. Enough misery to go around in all three phases. Unacceptable performance. I won't accept it. This team better not accept it. We've got obviously some work to do.
That was Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin summing up his thoughts on yesterday's 16-9 loss to the Tennessee Titans in the Steelers home opener. Hello and welcome to Steelers.com Live. I'm Missy Matthews. Joining me today is Bob Labriola and Tunch Ilkin. And guys, we have some news to get to. Several reports out there all day. I'm sure all of our viewers do know that the Steelers have brought back Jonathan Dwyer. They also have signed center Fernando Valesquio, who was most recently with the Tennessee Titans. And Tunch, you know a little bit about this guy, so can you fill us in?
Yeah, you know, Missy, he started at center most of the season last year. I guess he started 13 games at center, played some guard as well. I remember last year preparing labs for the Tennessee Titans. You know, I thought he was, you know, not a great center, but definitely serviceable. And, you know, tough guy, big, strong, and kind of a Mike Munchak, Bruce Matthews kind of player. As a matter of fact, I was a little surprised when they signed, Rob Turner from St. Louis Rams via free agency as a center. You know, to me, I'm not, you know, Turner might be a little bit better than Velasco. I was surprised that they released Velasco, but that move was great for us, obviously, after losing Marquise Pouncey. He'll be a guy that will be able to help.
Let me ask you this. I mean, can a guy in that position, at that position that he is going to play,
right,
get ready in a week?
A week. You know what? If he's a quick study, if he's a bright guy, yeah. I mean, it might take him a while to understand. You know, I think the biggest challenge for him is going to be the terminology. It depends how close the terminology here in the Steeler offense is to what he experienced in Tennessee. Look, the plays are the plays. You know, plays are pretty similar. What really screws players up when they get introduced to a new offense is the terminology, the cadence, and the audible system. And once you get those three things kind of under wraps, so to speak, then he'll be able
you
to
think
do it.
You have Ramon then call the – make the calls? I mean, because the calls.
You know what? Ramon is going to. Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny.
Do that?
You know, Ben, you know, mostly Ben will do that. But then at some point, see, because Ramon, it's going to be harder for Ramon to see what's going on over the right side. I remember this when Dermani was a young center, his second year in the league after Webby left. I called a lot of the defenses from right tackle. It is tough to do, but it can be done.
All right, guys, let's look at that full screen with all the injuries. Obviously, more than just the loss yesterday. Marquise Pouncey, which, yes, we know with the MCL, ACL. Cortez Allen also got hurt with a left ankle. That didn't sound as severe. Larod Stevens-Halling, we're now being told, is an ACL. And Larry Foote, obviously, with that ruptured right bicep. Not a good day pretty much at all. Let's start with the DeCastro injury, though. Tunch, kind of take us through what you saw. You've been through the tape and also what you saw live yesterday at Heinz Field.
You know, as you watch it right here, Missy, what they're trying to do is that run that outside zone, and you have both Marquise Pouncey and David DeCastro airing up on the nose tackle. And what ended up happening was when David tried to cut the nose tackle, Sammy Hill, number 94, he throws at the legs of Sammy Hill, but instead of hitting Sammy Hill's leg, he goes too shallow, and he rolls up on the back of Marquise Pouncey as Marquise Pouncey was trying to release from Sammy Hill the nose tackle and get up on the backside linebacker. I mean, it's one of those things. It's football, and I know that I saw Dave DeCastro today. I know that he felt horrible about it. And I just reminded him that way back in 1984 against the Oakland Raiders, my good buddy Craig Wolfley speared me in the base of the spine and almost broke my back. And the thing about that was he didn't even tell me. And so it wasn't until watching the films on Tuesday that I knew it was him that gored me.
Well, speaking of DeCastro, we spoke to him after the game yesterday, and he kind of took us through what he knew at that point before looking at the film.
You know, went down and cut the defender. Must have gotten Pouncey as well. See it on film. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
Is that part of the zone scheme?
You're trying to cut the nose down. You know, run outside, chop them down, have a backside.
What kind of effect? Was there a deflating effect for everybody for a while when he went out?
I mean, yeah. You could see it. We obviously didn't play the way we wanted to play. But it's no excuse for it. You know, we can't have excuses like that. I mean, we can't make excuses. We just got to play. So we come out better next week. That's all we can do.
Sanj, like you said, you saw him today, but yesterday, obviously distraught. It's one of those things, unfortunate, but you still just, you can't believe it happened.
Well, you know what? It's the game. You know, Missy, it's the game. I mean, he didn't do it on purpose. He ducked his head, and sometimes you duck your head when you're throwing on line, on the nose tackle. You're trying to cut the backside guy. It's done all over the knee. He's not the first guy Marquise is not the first guy that got his knee blown out by one of his fellow offensive linemen. I guarantee he's not going to be the last until, you know, one of the things that I think that is so surprising to me with all of the concern about head injuries, that they still let you cut in the box on the backside. I mean, that's, you're in essence rolling up the back of a guy's legs. If you were to change any rule in the National Football League, this is the one that they haven't changed where I really think they ought to change.
You know, let me ask you this, though. You know, there are a lot of mistakes made in football games all the time. Drop balls, fumbles, taking penalties. But when you do something to a teammate, I mean, how do you, can you put yourself in David DeCastro's helmet? And how does he feel?
Awful. He feels terrible because he just ended his good buddy's season. And not only is he a good buddy, he just happens to be one of the best centers in the National Football League. But at some point, you've got to go, wait a second, this is football. This is what happens. Yeah, was it my fault? Absolutely. Did I duck my head? Absolutely. But that's what the game of football is. When and if you're Marquise Pouncey, you think, I don't know if you remember this, but in towards the end of my career, I don't know if it was my 11th year or so, in practice, Barry Foster dislocated my elbow. He hit me in the back of the arm, my left upper part of my hand ended up by my ear, and you know, was dislocated, and I didn't miss the whole season. I only missed three football games. But look, he felt bad, but I didn't blame him. It's just all he's doing is trying to block the guy. My arms are extended, he hits my arm, and that's one of those things. It's part of the game.
Well, luckily, guys, Calvin Beecham did get a lot of time. Not a lot, I should say, but at least got some reps at training camp through part of the preseason at center. And obviously, this is probably not the way that he wanted to take over the center position or be called to go into it. So this is what he said after the game. He said, you know, if the job is his going into, obviously, this week, and like we said, we didn't just sign another center, though, he said he is confident. Let's take a listen to the rest of Calvin Beecham's interview.
The proof is in the pudding. We didn't do the job. You know, no matter how I played, we lost, and that's all that matters.
Did you see anything at Pouncey's injury?
No, I didn't. I was blocking the tight end at the time.
And you had just played center in the last preseason game, was that correct, other than practice?
Yeah.
And you get maybe 20, 25 reps in or more than that?
I mean, I don't know how many reps it was.
Was it unfamiliar to you, or did you feel like you had a handle on it today?
I mean, you got to be a football player at the end of the day. You know, you asked, you know, paid to be here. You got to find a way to make it work and be a football player.
They had some really long drives that were only 45, 35 yards a time. They possessed the ball and they ran the ball, maybe not in huge chunks, but effectively. What prevented you guys from doing the same on their side of the defensive ball? What was their
Earlier, we didn't execute and do our job. That's all it boils down to.
Tunch, what were your thoughts on Beecham having to step in for center?
You know, Kelvin did a nice job, Missy. Look, it's a tough situation to be in. He had some good plays and some bad plays. But here's the reality. Kelvin Beecham is not a center. He is an offensive guard or an offensive tackle who, because of his athleticism, they've played him at center. He did a nice job in training camp, in practice. And when Marquise Pouncey got hurt, because they only had seven guys active, he was in essence, he was the next guy up. And so because of that, look, he had some bad plays, but he had some pretty darn good plays. To go in where he was at this stage of his career, at that position, he did an admirable job.
Okay, head coach Tunch Ilkin, you're playing the Cincinnati Bengals Monday night.
Right.
Geno Atkins likes to line up in the middle of that
middle
area there.
And D'Amato Pecco as well.
Right, okay, really so now you got – Velasco, you got Cody Wallace, and you have Kelvin Beecham as three options.
Right.
Where are you going?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Lance. Let me say this. It all depends on Velasco and how quickly he picks up the offense, how comfortable he looks. It is very, very difficult for a guy who's never played center to all of a sudden be a center with limited reps in training camp. I personally, I like the natural center, and I think that's Velasco at this point. Now, Cody, I haven't seen enough of him to make a judgment on him, but I would, you know, look, you've got a lot of – you've evaluated. If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you've evaluated all these guys. That's why you bring Velasco in. You've seen what he's capable of. You know that John Malecki's out there, so if you wanted to bring Malecki back, you could have. They chose not to. So, obviously, Velasco is the best center that's out there. When you bring the best center that's out there into your organization, if you've got a game, and remember, it's Monday night, which means you have an extra day to prepare. If he's in the corral tonight, you start spoon feeding them right now. You've got till Monday night, and I'd say let's you play them. I'm going to say this: most centers are smart. They're usually your smartest offensive lineman, and so the Velasco is probably a quick study, I would imagine. And I think he should be able to do all right.
All right, let's move down our laundry list of injuries. Going next to Larry Foote, the ruptured bicep. Obviously, a very gruesome injury if you saw him on the sideline whenever it happened. And Lawrence Timmons actually just spoke upstairs to some of the media that was here today, guys. And he said that obviously when Foote went out, he wore the helmet with the headset to communicate for the play calling. He said he assumes that's what will happen next week, but that wasn't anything set in stone. So obviously we'll learn more about that tomorrow. But, Tunch, if you can just talk briefly on what a loss it is to not have Larry Foote out there calling the defenses.
Well, you know, it's huge because Footer brings so much experience and leadership and knowledge of the game. He's one of those guys that has kind of that sixth sense, if you will, to when to attack the line of scrimmage, when to duck under. You know, some people would call it guessing. You know, I call it playing with your eyes. He plays very well. Yeah, plays very well with his eyes. And I think that's going to hurt. And he's just a great guy. You know, a lot of things. Some of the great things that I saw Larry Foote do before he blew it out, and we just saw the highlights of him. You know, he tried to tackle Chris Johnson, threw the arm out, and Johnson hit the Chris Johnson's thigh and ruptured that bicep. I too ruptured my bicep last year playing soccer, of all things. But you know, they've got to reattach that. And here's the thing about Footer. Footer understands the game. He's not going to be fooled. And Footer did a great job on those fire X's that the Steelers like to run. They call it fire zone, where they bring Foote first and then they bring Lawrence Timmons behind him. If you watch what happened the other day or yesterday against the Tennessee Titans, both those guys got home on that thing. Now, Jake Locker was obviously informed by his offensive coordinator, Dal Logans, get rid of the ball quickly. Don't be holding on to the ball. So the ball came out quickly. They did a great job of getting in his face and limited his Locker's effectiveness. But that's what you're going to miss Lawrence Tim, or that's the way you're going to miss Larry Foote. He knows how to blitz. He knows how to find the ball carry. He just has a great feel for the game.
All right, let's move on to Lerod Stevens-Helling. Like I said, laundry list of injury guys that just kind of played out yesterday. And with Lerod, obviously, yesterday it didn't seem to be horrible. We knew it was his right knee, but after further examination, we found out it was the ACL. Obviously, this triggered the move of bringing Jonathan Dwyer back. But, Labs, just talk about what kind of a loss it is having the player that Lerod is, that everyone was kind of excited about being able to utilize him this season.
Yeah, there were two things, I think, that the Steelers really wanted to do over the course of this offseason with their backfield. The first thing was to come up with a franchise running back, a bell cow, so to speak, because obviously last year the by committee thing really wasn't that effective. The other thing that Todd Haley has liked in different places he has been is a guy who is a versatile kind of weapon who can do a lot of different things for you offensively, both in the running game and in the passing game. And Lerod Stevens-Helling, and I've said this many times, he was kind of, to me, you know, the Chris Rainey experiment, you know, without all of the knucklehead off the field stuff going on. So Lerod Stevens-Helling, I thought, was going to have a very nice role in this offense, maybe 15 touches a game, around 10 carries, a couple catches, maybe some returns on special teams. And he had a feel for the zone scheme. He had quickness. I thought his height was actually an advantage for him in a lot of instances because it would allow him to, you know, hide behind the offensive line and pick a hole for the defense. So, you know, now the Steelers have no one who can do those things. You know, the Jonathan Dwyer, you bring him in, he can maybe handle, you know, the first and second down stuff that you're kind of waiting for Le'Veon Bell to get back to be able to handle. But that change of pace, versatile guy that you throw in there to do some different things, there really isn't that person now in the on the Steelers roster. Maybe they try and groom Felix Jones a little bit for that, but I really thought that was going to be Stevens Howling, and it's unfortunate that he is now gone for the season.
Tunch, sticking with Dwyer, the Steelers cut him on August 31st, led the Steelers in rushing last season, tried out a little bit with the Giants, the Pats. No one picked him up after we cut him. Obviously, there was a need to bring him back. Where do you see him fitting in? Is Isaac still the guy? Are you waiting for Le'Veon to get healthy? Is Felix Jones going to step in? What's kind of going on?
You know, I'm curious to see that myself, Missy. Look, Jonathan Dwyer was not released because of his lack of ability. He has tremendous vision. He led this team in rushing yards during the preseason again, and he's a guy that can help you right now. Right? And so you've got to bring him in. You know, the Steelers liked the guys they had more than they liked him, but those guys aren't there anymore. You don't have Le'Veon Bell anymore until he heals up. You no longer have Lerod Stevens-Howling. So he, in fact, really is the next backup. So,
I start him.
Yeah.
I mean,
why not? He knows the offense. He's got the feel.
For all the things that Isaac Redman may be able to do for you, what we saw against the Titans, I mean, it just didn't seem a good fit. Isaac Redman with the zone scheme stuff. So, yeah. and the turnovers as well. So, I don't know. I kind of, you know, it's how weird the NFL is. Don't you go from the waiver wire to a starter on Monday Night Football within a calendar week?
From being cut and playing touch football in Chicago to being on all the special teams on Monday Night Football.
Well, that's a little different. But I really think that Jonathan Dwyer now represents the Steelers' best hope for something resembling a legitimate NFL running attack Monday night in Cincinnati.
Well, whether he starts or not, we're going to see him. There is no doubt. And especially the way, look, not only did Isaac fumble twice, Isaac just had trouble finding the crease there. At least three times he tried to bounce plays outside when the hole was and the crease was inside. So I believe that we're going to see a lot of Jonathan Dwyer come Monday night.
Isaac Redman after the game yesterday spoke about those fumbles and also the miscommunication he felt that played a part in them on offense.
Coach T said, he doesn't change it how he has his faith in me. When I came to the sideline, he said, just get it together, and they're going to still dial my number up sometime in the game.
Mike said there was a lot of confusion on that play with the personnel and whatnot before. Did you sense something was messed up there?
It was supposed to be two tailbacks in the game. I was going on the fullback and get the dive. So we got to the line of scrimmage, realized we didn't have the tailback in the game. So I turned to the sideline to see if we could flag, Felix on. They looked like they were trying to get him on. Looked up at the clock, it was about 7-8 seconds left. So I told David Johnson just to go back at tailback. And we snapped it. It was kind of slow coming from the center, still, working with a new center. It's a quick hit and play, so it was a bang bang, and we had it messed up. We messed up the quarterback running back exchange.
Did you ever get the ball?
I never felt like I had. I never really felt it. It kind of went right through. I was going downhill. I was trying to look at the defense, so I never look at the exchange, and I just never felt it.
All right, guys, let's move on to Ben Roethlisberger. Obviously one of those good day, bad day moments where some things just weren't working. Obviously getting sacked 5 times, not what you wanted to see, but when you lose your Pro Bowl center, run game's not working. Tunch, where did everything kind of go wrong yesterday in terms of protecting the quarterback?
Missy, when you watch the film, the thing about an offensive line, for it to be effective, every one of the guys has to be able to do his job and win his one-on-one battle, and then the collective group has to be able to pick up stunts and twists. And what happened was, as you watch them, it seems like one guy broke down every play. Mike Adams got beat by Derek Morgan upfield. Marcus Gilbert. Mike Adams got beat on Cameron Million by Cameron Wimbley one time on the edge. Inside, Jarrell Casey did a great job of getting to the quarterback, splitting double teams between Kelvin Beachum. And then Zach Brown twice gets sacks working against Lerod Stevens-Howling. Right here, you're going to see Lerod Stevens-Howling's got to come up and pick up Zach Brown, who had six sacks for the Tennessee Titans last year. This guy can rush the passer, and he runs right over Stevens-Howling's right there for the sack. So every way you could have given up a sack by the Pittsburgh Steelers, that time was Jarrell Casey, who's really their best defensive lineman. And this guy is a poor version of Geno Atkins, who they are going to see as a three-technique guy. This time you see Jarrell Casey split right between Ramon Foster and Mike Adams. They run a little bit of twist, and Ramon ends up getting picked, and Ramon ends up coming off too soon. Mike Adams ends up getting picked. He splits the two, and it's a sack.
Let me tell you something else. I mean, on a few of those sacks, I was looking down the field, and there wasn't anybody open. You know, the very first offensive play for the Steelers, I thought Emmanuel Sanders had an opportunity to make a play for his quarterback down the field. He wasn't able to do it. And there were instances when, you know, the Steelers tried to keep some people in to protect Ben, but the receivers were not winning the one-on-one matchups with the corners, McCourty and Alteron Verner. So, you know, it's a team thing. You know, as I said, certainly you can speak well to the offensive linemen, but I didn't think that the receivers necessarily had a consistent enough day winning their one-on-ones.
No, nobody did. Nobody did. And the best point you made is that it's a team effort on the offense. Receivers got to get open, and when they didn't, Bob, it was when those corners came up, played press, played physical with those guys, and when they brought eight up in the box, Steelers max protect, and you've got your two receivers going, somebody's got to win a battle, and they go hand in hand. Just like the rush and coverage goes hand in hand, protection and routes and the quarterback, they go hand in hand in hand.
All right, well, yesterday Ben was 21 for 33, 191 yards, one touchdown, one interception, and unfortunately in a game where you kind of didn't want this record to take place, Ben had his pass that put him over 30,000 yards. He is the 35th quarterback in NFL history to do so, guys. But like I said, one of those days where obviously he didn't want to talk about this after the game. It was kind of one of those individual things that when your team's falling apart around you, it just doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. And Ben has never been a guy who's been about those kinds of statistics. I mean, the statistics he's interested in are Super Bowl rings. And, you know, obviously, you know, the kind of performance that was put forth against the Titans at Heinz Field did not lend itself to us thinking that he's going to be adding to that total necessarily this season. It is a long year, however, but, you know, 30,000 yards to me is a very representative number for a guy, and, you know, congratulations to him, even though it's something that maybe Ben didn't want to talk about or, you know.
And I respect the fact that he didn't want to talk about it, and the fact is that's something that at the end of this season or maybe at the end of his career that he's going to take some joy in, but today's not that day.
All right, well, let's take a listen to what Ben Roethlisberger had to say after the game.
Not good enough, point blank. No excuses. You know, I don't make excuses, so it just wasn't good enough. I didn't play good enough.
Is it just execution? You finally were able to get the ball moving late? You know?
Yeah, that's the problem. We did it late. You know, we couldn't do it early enough, and like I said, it just little things here, little things there. Just never quite got it going.
Sitting on 2 points the whole game makes it look really bad, but you had to fumble into the end zone. You throw the pick and they turn that around. It's just two plays that maybe turn the whole game.
Yep, and sometimes that's all it takes in this game is a play or two, and turnovers kill you. That's why we can't have it, and it's my fault.
So how emotionally deflating was seeing Marquise come out for this team?
Well, it's tough. I mean, he's our captain. He's our leader. You know, obviously a very good friend, so you never like to see a guy get hurt, regardless of who it is. But it's, you know, it's tough.
And on that fumble at the five, should you have called timeout when the huddle clock running down the way that it was?
Thought about it. Thought about calling timeout because we had the wrong personnel in there. The thing was, the play was going to Isaac the whole time. So he was in. He knew the play. So I didn't feel like it was necessary to burn a timeout when we had the guys in there that were necessary to run that play.
Was that
what happened on that play?
Was that a bad handoff?
You know what? I had to go back and look at it. You know, we did a lot of little factors here and there. I gotta make sure I get him the ball, point blank. So I'll take the I'll take the heat on that one.
I know it's no consolation, but throwing for over 30,000 yards, I mean, it's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, but like I said, it comes in a loss, so it doesn't do anything for me.
Do you feel like you were on your backside too often tonight, or this afternoon?
They're a good defense. They got after it, and they did some good things up there that we have to, you know, we have to correct. We have to get at it again tomorrow and get ready to make improvements.
You know, there was one injury that we really kind of didn't touch on, and that's Sean Sweezum. He did injure a hamstring in the pregame warm-ups yesterday against the Titans. I think the Steelers ended up kind of being fortunate that the game didn't hinge on, you know, him attempting a field goal from, you know, 45 to 50 yards or something, because, you know, it seemed to me that opening kickoff that went for that safety, he mishit it. And then I was watching him as he came off the sideline. He went right up to Dr. Bradley, the team's orthopedic surgeon, and they were talking. And, you know, Shane Graham was trying, knowing that probably a lot of people were watching him. He really wasn't touching any body parts or, you know, trying to give anything away. But, you know, it was obvious that there was something going on with him. You cannot have a place kicker who cannot kick. And, you know, right before we went on the air here, we did see the scouting intern, the way it works here with the Steelers, when they bring guys in to look at them or work them out or whatever, it's usually the scouting intern picks them up at the airport, brings them here for a workout and that kind of thing. We did see a guy who looked like a kicker walking around that kind of build, that height and weight.
You already said his name.
Well,
you said it when you were talking about Sean Sweezum. You said his name.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Looked like Shane Graham.
Like
to
Shane
me.
Graham.
red hair. I mean, he's hard to miss. He's been in the division for 100 years. So who knows what's going to happen with that. But, you know, it did seem like that's the guy I saw. I'm not certain, but the red hair to me.
I saw a red haired guy, too. A short, red haired guy who kind of looked like Richie Cunningham.
All right, well, obviously you can stay tuned to Steelers.com for all of the latest transactions. And don't forget, tomorrow Coach Tomlin will be holding his weekly press conference here at noon. That will also be carried live on Steelers.com. And, of course, at 4, we'll see you again for another edition of Steelers.com Live. For Bob and Tunch, I'm Missy. Thanks for joining us. Have a great night.